Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
What are you doing over there?
I was away from my microphone.
yes, that's right. Yeah, you can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's what I said,
John.
Chris.
Oh, you did?
That's exactly what I just said. Well, word for word, but a little bit slower and a little bit more like definitive.
Not paying attention, obviously.
Yes.
It is an ice storm.
Dude,
outside.
Okay, so it has been deemed the snowpocalypse of Nashville.
Yes.
That's a little extreme
and
to me.
And a lot of the rest of the country.
That's very true.
I heard that Boston has had the most snow in like years.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
Feet.
Well, they get a lot of snow up there too. Like, I mean, it's not like they're strangers to snow.
Oh, no.
So this is just a lot of snow.
Someone was also talking the other day about how cities, I don't know, I don't have any knowledge of this, big cities will have to cart out their snow outside of the city because they have nowhere to put it.
Like, so they can't just snow plow it and let it go
because
they have to like shovel it into the backs of big like Tonka trucks and drive them out.
I guess.
Wow,
that sounds ridiculous.
That sounds amazing. Like, what farmer is like, yep, you can use my field for all of your Boston snow?
Yeah, I mean,
or maybe
could
like
you
if
just push it out in the ocean,
like let it melt in there.
Yeah.
They say the ice caps are melting, just, you know.
Exactly. Just, hey, let's
add some more ice in there.
Exactly.
Pack it on. Anyway, what if they, like, there was a ski place that was nearby, and they could just shovel it up to there. More snow, the skiers are happy.
That's true. Although, like, it makes me wonder. It's like, okay, you know, if you're in New York City, and you got to cart your snow somewhere, like, there's all the, like, weird street pollution like that collects on the snow, like, does that end up somewhere else?
That's a good idea. That's not a good idea, but it's like I had never thought of that, like, because think about like all of the just random stuff on the street, and think about like all of the trash,
newspapers,
yeah, and
homeless,
like,
people,
man. Well, you they
know,
say like
other
you
things
know.
You scrape up with the snow.
Well, it's like in like LA, you have all the smog and stuff, and like that all like settles.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so, like, you know, I would imagine in New York, you have a similar situation with like all of the exhaust from all the vehicles.
I don't think there's not as many vehicles in New York.
That's true. And it's not as wide, like not as spread out either.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not as wide of a pollution
right.
net.
You don't have as many commuter cars.
That's
you have
true.
Commuters, but they don't come by car.
That's true. That's true. I love New York. I want to go back.
Yeah. I've never been.
Dude, you need to go.
I'm speaking authoritatively about a place I've never been to.
You see how this podcast rolls. No, I love New York, man. I actually have I have on my wall a big thing of the Flatiron
oh,
building.
Oh, how convenient.
So. Yeah, yeah. I love New York, man. It's a good place.
Rub it in my face.
Dude, you should just go. Like, one of these times, like,
oh, yeah.
Maybe not in the heat of summer, and maybe not in, like, the winter whenever they have all this snow that they're pushing into the bay.
The ocean.
into the
the Chris solution.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Brooklyn's just like, hey, let's push all this into Queens.
Yes.
Just see all the neighborhoods
hey, send
going.
Send it all over to Jersey.
Yeah,
they
they're just having, like,
it.
A snowball fight.
That'd be hilarious. Just,
Jersey goes, you need to stop sending us your snow.
Yes.
Anyway.
What if they carted it off in helicopters and just dropped it out of the air?
Oh, dude.
In large clumps. Not in, like, you know, the way that snow normally falls. They find people whose cars they want to cover, and then just, like, literally just clumps down in a big old pile over their car.
I hope this is like the situation that they're doing for like terrible people out in the world.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, you are just a terrible person to everyone. We're gonna dump a bunch of snow on you.
Yes. So we spent a couple days shut in. We did not go see Kingsman. Like we said, we were going to last week.
It was the universe and has made us liars, Chris.
Yeah, I apologize. To all of our listeners.
Well, on Tuesday, when we planned on going to see it,
mm-hmm.
you text me and you're like, are we going to do this or not? And then,
yes.
then I was like, I got on, I was like, okay, let's look at the weather. And immediately I pull up the weather and it says, the governor of Nashville has declared a state of emergency.
Yes.
For the
governor
the city.
Of Nashville?
Or governor, I mean,
the governor of Tennessee.
Governor of Tennessee has, yes, that's what it was. Has declared a state of emergency for Nashville. And so that's the situation that it was whenever we were planning to go see it. So it just didn't end up working out this time.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, as I was texting you that, I was looking out my back window at just a sea of ice. And I was like, are we... going to see Kingsman tonight.
I can envision you in like your sweater and like with your hot chocolate, you know.
Yes, well, I actually didn't have hot chocolate there, and I didn't have coffee either because I'd run out of that.
Oh, dude, that's the worst.
Yes,
you should always have those things. You actually know, I wasn't able to go to my favorite coffee shop, like Frothy Monkey is where I go. Yeah. Here in Nashville all the time. And so like they were like on Monday, I think it was, they said, hey, we're closing early.
Yeah.
On Monday at 3, and it was like 2, and I was talking to Catherine. I was like, I think we could make it. She was like, Jonathan, that is the worst idea you've ever had. And I was like, okay.
We have to get there.
Okay.
Would they have even been open?
Well, I mean, they were open until 3, and then they closed for the rest of that day, then yeah, all day Tuesday, and then I think they opened late on Wednesday as well. So
yesterday, I was super surprised, but super happy. I went by Jamba Juice, and they were actually open.
What?
Like, I came up the hill. Like, oh, so I was hungry, okay?
Yeah.
On my way home, I'm like, I want some Jamba Juice. Yeah. I don't really want food.
Yeah.
I want to eat supper later.
Yeah.
But I want something filling enough.
I want something, Nicky. Yeah, I want nutrition you can drink.
And I don't want something that is just trash.
You're welcome, Jamba Juice. That's your new slogan.
What
was nutrition the slogan? You can drink.
Nutrition you can drink. I like that. So I come up this icy hill,
yeah,
and I look up, and I'm like, oh man, there's no one. Like there's no one in the parking lot. It's right next door to a Firehouse Subs, and it looked like they were closed. Everything was dark, and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna drive in there just in case. And I pull in there, and I pull into the parking lot, kind of look in, and I kind of see this movement off to the side, and the employees are like sitting down on a table, like reading or something. Like, there's nothing to do because
they're
no
like
one
playing
is there.
A poker game.
It
in
didn't
there.
Look like anyone had been there all day.
They're shooting craps in the corner. Yeah,
exactly. And I walk in, and like, they almost kind of like have shocked looks on their faces, like that I'm actually there. But I got my Jamba. But I got my Jamba Juice.
They go, good Lord, someone wants juice?
Yes. Well, and then I was like, oh, is it because it's cold? You know, Jamba Juice is cold. You know, they're kind of like, you can get like kind of, you know, I mean, they're smoothies. You know, do you not want smoothies in an ice storm?
I don't know. Well, see, people also look at me strange. I mean, not like coffee people, but some people look at you strange whenever you order like a hot coffee on like a 100-degree day.
Mm. Oh, but, yeah. I've gotten that before too.
But it's like, I do it all the time. But like, some people are like, get your, you know, you should get, you know, I'm like, no, iced coffee is not the same. Doesn't feel the same.
No. I don't know that I'm not a huge iced coffee person. Like from Starbucks, I will get it sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I always, okay, so here's my thing about that is I always have to get, like, it has to be really cold. And so I have to get, like, extra ice, like, where it's basically all ice
with
a little bit of coffee. It's like coffee-flavored ice water.
So, like, okay, you know, it's not, yeah, like, you know, I think McDonald's, just let's bring that into the discussion.
Oh, gosh.
McDonald's has iced coffee.
Of all the places.
Pretty sure it's day-old coffee.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure, like,
and
who knows what's in that?
It's just poured over ice with some milk in it, and that's not iced coffee.
No, that's not okay? Iced coffee at all.
I'm just gonna
and plus, like, let's just throw the argument out there that I'm not even sure that their coffee is like legitimately good coffee.
No, I mean, I don't mind it. I'm not gonna disparage an entire, you know, I'll never drink McDonald's coffee.
Okay.
Our grandfather drank McDonald's coffee every morning.
So you're saying that if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for...
Exactly.
I love it.
What I'm saying. yes, but you know, like...
If every generation said that, what
coffee,
would we still be doing today?
I mean, I don't know.
Anyway.
You can just go on and on. The possibilities are endless. Yeah, but you can grind up. I mean, it's whenever you grind up the ice and it's like in there with the coffee and it's just like, yes, this is iced coffee.
Like, this feels like good coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a coffee slushy.
Like, so you're talking like the Frappuccino style where it's like in a blender,
yes,
and they,
well,
blend it, like the iced
blended. It doesn't have to be that smooth, but
dude,
yeah, like chopped up ice.
I don't know how you've ventured some like out there west. Like, you've had In-N-Out Burger before,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so have you ever had a coffee bean and tea leaf?
I don't know what words you just strung together.
Okay, so they claim the original iced blended, and so it's like it's the original like mocha, or you can get vanilla too, which is weird, but that's a different story. Vanilla coffee, really strange to me. I don't know.
Get vanilla things from Starbucks.
That's true. But anyway, so it's apparently like they invented that what you're just talking about, like where it's like a frappuccino where it's like blended in with the coffee.
Yeah, I don't know if I was going that hardcore as far as like blended, but go ahead with your story.
But anyway, so it's some of the most delicious thing. Like anytime I'm out someplace, it's like, okay, well, if there's not like a local coffee place to go to, it's like, hey, where's the nearest coffee bean and tea leaf whenever you're in California anyway. So
I'll have to go there.
It's good.
And get my iced coffee.
For sure. You're going to go to San Diego, and they should have them in San Diego.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this week we have, besides the ice storm,
man.
I think you brought us the pick of the week.
I have nothing. Okay. So I'll just talk about it here then.
This is the thing. We were thrown off.
Yes.
This ice storm.
Thrown off a lot.
This podcast this week is just a mishmash. If I can use that phrase.
But it's some good topics. Like whenever we were just talking about it, whenever we were like, hey, what can we talk about? Yeah. I was like, what's in the news this week? What can we discuss and unpack for everyone?
Yeah.
You brought up some really cool things. So it's not like we're phoning it in.
Right.
Which would be really fun to do a phone-in episode.
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
It would be... you mean like we're both on the phone with each other?
Yeah, like everybody who's on the podcast is on the phone and like different people can join the conversation and leave at any time.
A giant group call?
Yeah, like a conference call where we can get like whoever to call in and then just like, all right, guys, I got to go into the, we'll see you later.
This makes me incredibly nervous for some
reason.
It's
really fun.
Like I'm getting anxiety right now thinking about it.
I'm just thinking about the logistics and it's just not possible. But
I mean, no. Yeah.
anyway, so do you want to just call this a pick of the week?
Yeah.
The pick of the week. Pick of the week.
All right, John, what's your pick of the week?
Okay, so I've got two things.
Oh,
okay.
So you can make up for my lack of a pick.
I can. So I'm bringing – just let it be known and just mark it down in your calendars. Today was the day that I made up for Chris not bringing a pick. So at some point, you're going to have to bring two, and I'll have none.
Oh, I like that.
And we'll even it out.
I like that.
You've got red on your ledger.
Oh, whoa, man. This just got crazy dark.
Okay, so first one, let me tell you the story. So we were, it's icing outside. It's, you know, it's storming badly. It's cold. So it's like, okay, what's the cool thing? You just kind of like snuggle up, have a like relaxed day or whatever, and watch cartoons. And so you had mentioned like 2 weeks ago, no, last week, we were playing some Destiny online and, you'd mentioned Darkwing Duck.
Oh,
I was like, I've got two seasons of Darkwing Duck here. And I was like, I've seen the first one. I've seen a couple episodes. So I was like, I'm going to watch, start watching through the rest of Darkwing Duck. And so I started watching Darkwing Duck. So that's the first pick.
That's amazing.
Is Darkwing Duck. And so I marathoned through a bunch of Darkwing Duck because he's the terror that flaps in the night.
Yes, he is. I was reading, we were playing Destiny. And I looked up just a bunch of Darkwing Duck quotes and just could not stop laughing for like an hour. We would reach a stopping point and I would just start reading them again and telling you the quotes.
And I actually encountered a few of them in the episodes and they were hilarious. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and laying there and watching it. And I was like getting all kind of like, man, this is all cool stuff from my childhood. I was like, I want to play a Game Gear game from back whenever, like back in the day.
Nice.
And so I get on I get on my 3DS.
You can play them on your 3DS?
Some of them are on the eShop.
There are Game Gear games.
Yes, there are Game Gear games on the eShop.
I'm going to go out right now and buy a 3DS.
You need to. And anyway, so like I pull it up and I find there was a couple of them that I was going in between. It was Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yes.
Or Tails Adventure.
Both of those are on the eShop?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
John.
And I remembered we'd never beaten Tails Adventure.
No, we had not.
Because they had this weird system in there where you would basically have to write down what is a 4x4, like a 16-digit code to save the game. Like there was no like save. Well,
because it wasn't
file.
Like you're just saving a point in the progress. You're actually saving your character.
Yeah,
because
like you can revisit levels and get different gear. Yeah. And like depending on if you've solved this puzzle, you might have certain gear and other gear. I don't know. So like you're leveling things up. And so there was this weird save system. And I remember at one point we were pretty far into the game, but then we lost the piece of paper that we had all of our codes written down on.
Yeah, that was which a devastating day.
Which is the danger whenever you have to write down these codes. Which I think that actually, what was the Arena Maze of Death was one that was, they don't have that one, by the way, but
man,
I know.
You got my hopes up there.
Dude, I don't know who, where the rights, I needed to like maybe search, research and figure out who has the rights to that game and contact them and be like, you need to put out a digit, you know, like an updated version of
Portal. Put that on any platform and yeah, I will buy it immediately.
For sure.
I'll buy 10 copies.
It would look really weird on your big screen TV.
I'll play it 10 times.
10 times.
10 times.
Kind of like you've done with Limbo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
my new Limbo. I'm still going to do a walkthrough of that.
You really need to
throw it up on the web.
I have not even touched it since the first day that I've done it. So
wait, what? Arena Maze of Death? Oh, Limbo.
Yeah. No, so back to Tails Adventure.
You should wait for my walkthrough.
I should.
Follow it, and then you can beat the game.
Oh, dude, that'd be amazing.
Get all the achievements.
Because I'm pretty bad at puzzle platformers like
this. Yes, except for the achievement where you have to beat it all in one sitting with two or fewer deaths. Oof. I have no clue how to do that one.
That's pretty rough.
That's unbelievably rough.
Well, because it auto-saves too, right? So it's not like you can...
You have to do all in one sitting with two or fewer deaths. That's insane.
Wow. Anyway, so Tails Adventure, download that guy while I'm watching Darkwing Duck. I'm playing Tails Adventure. So it's like I'm transported back to, like, I don't even know how old would I have been whenever.
Oh, man.
Because this game came out in 95. Like Tails Adventure came out in 1995 for Game Gear. So we would have played it like a couple years later.
At that point, that you were like, you were 9 years old?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's like
like 10 or 11 or 12.
Yeah, so it's like
max 12.
Because like we would have played it a little bit after it came out, you know. I don't know if we would have gotten it new, but like at that time period, did you even care if it was new? Like most of the time you just walk into like the Toys R Us and you look at this wall of like these weird like flaps and you just pick out a game and be like, I want to play this one today.
Yeah, dude. I don't ever remember like knowing, hey, this game is coming out. Well, aside from like, okay, when we reached the Dreamcast era,
right?
Like we kept up with those releases, but we were still behind on them.
Yeah, and we were playing the demos from the Dreamcast magazine.
Yeah, back when that was a thing, putting discs inside magazines.
Demos, dude. And also, I remember getting so many demos from like Pizza Hut and stuff like that for like PlayStations and stuff.
Yeah, dude. What was crazy is the discs inside magazines trend continued until like a couple years ago inside the Xbox magazine.
What, really?
Yeah, like whenever I first started subscribing, it was in there for like I think almost 6 months, and then they stopped.
So they're paying somebody to sit there and like take these demo files and then compile them in and get like an interface to like select them. And then, oh man, that just blows my mind. Until a couple of years ago, that was still a thing.
Yeah, not anymore, though.
Because, like, even on the Xbox 360, you could download demos.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it was totally a thing. But, I mean, you know, it's just that weird transition from, excuse me for the hiccup there.
oh, this could be a fun episode.
Well, uh-oh. We've had one of those. a weird transition between, you know, analog to digital, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's the same transition from cart to like the discs and everything. You
yeah,
know? There were no load times on the carts, and there's load times now.
So anyway, you've been playing Tails Adventure.
Yeah, so Tails Adventure. I've gotten about to where we were whenever we were kids.
That's amazing.
And the difficulty has ramped considerably.
So that's why.
So I generally don't know if we could have completed this
really?
Whenever I was a kid. Like I just don't know. Like even now, I'm just kind of like at the point where I'm like, I guess I'll go back through and replay this level with the tools that I have. See if I can open up another area.
Yeah.
And so like I'm at this point I'm just kind of like going through. I mean there's only 12 stages and I'm into like 6 of them or something.
Yeah.
So I'm like halfway through the game or over halfway through the game, but I don't even know. But the gameplay is really fun cuz it's got this the submarine as well. And so you've got the levels where you can be Tails and throw bombs at people.
That's
and
amazing.
You've
I
also
remember
got
those.
The submarine levels and those
yeah,
are really fun.
That's awesome.
But the music is so cool. 3DS does not have a very loud speaker set.
No, obviously.
But anyway, so the music is really fun, but it's just, it was a day of just nostalgia and fun, and those are my two picks of the week, Chris.
That's amazing, dude. All right, so we've got some news to talk about, John, quickly.
So do you want to go into the news?
The news! All right, John. I thought we already said this part. We have several items on the list.
Yeah, that's the part we said.
Okay.
So starting now.
Let's start with some movie news. First off.
You just got a text.
No. First off, Neil Blomkamp's Alien movie is a go. Have we talked about this on the podcast?
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but I've been anxiously like watching this news story.
All right, so let's just go back and give some perspective. I think we talked about
history.
I don't know. It was a few months ago. Whenever some concept art appeared on Neil Blomkamp's Instagram page, it featured concept art for an alien movie that he would like to direct.
And that's right. That's the part we actually talked about.
Yes, and so he had basically all this concept art and
this idea for a movie, alien movie. Well, and it looked really cool.
And apparently, it's from his work he did on Chappie with Sigourney Weaver that this kind of idea kind of formulated, and he wanted to.
So it was like a direct sequel of Aliens 2 or Alien 2?
Well, we don't know that quite yet.
Okay.
What we do know is, I'm still in the historical part of this.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
So like, then last week, basically he came out and said, Fox has said this is a go. If I want to do it, all I have to do is say that I want to do it.
Yeah, because like we were talking like on that initially that it was like, oh, well, if you know, it sucks that this will never see the light of day because the license is somewhere else and it's like we're doing the Prometheus thing now. And so it seems like, you know, this other alien story, this possible, you know, other timeline maybe will just fall apart. Or
yeah,
fall by
the wayside. Like what it felt like, it was like, oh, well, maybe he pitched this to them and they said no, and then this is just the concept art, or maybe they asked him to concept something and he did it and they said, you know, no, not right now. But that's not what had happened at all. He just released all this, you know, and then they saw it. They're like, hey, we want you to do this, and he's like, well,
yeah,
I guess it's up to me now, you know, like if I want to do it, I can do it. And so he did say that, you know, the only way he would do it is if. I don't necessarily know what this means, but is if Fox adhered to his specific vision for the movie. Like, I don't know what that means, because if
so basically,
spoilers for later movies, or old movies of the Alien franchise.
I was about to say, shouldn't there be like some sort of expiration period on the spoilerage?
Yeah. So spoilers for those, but like you have to, especially with the concept art, because they showed several characters who died, and in his concept art. So if he's going to use them in the movie, then he has to bring them back to life or explain the way. Like, is he ignoring some of the later films?
Or maybe it's somewhere other in the timeline. You know,
maybe. I mean, but how do you do that with actors that are now, you know,
no idea,
20, 30 years older than, you know, they were then?
I have no idea. And the other thing that's interesting about this, and I think that this was interesting, like, whenever Ridley Scott decided to do Prometheus, was that we're going to have two kind of differing views of the same kind of original property, where you have the Ridley Scott side of things that is very, like right now at least, is very kind of space epic-ish.
Yeah.
And it's more of a action-packed thriller than a gritty kind of horror-esque, you know, action-adventure thing that way. So it's like it'll be fun to see these two different things come to life in two different ways.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's really weird, like, because Ridley and Lindelof had said from the beginning, like, that the Prometheus thing, the planet that they went to, it's like, oh, you know, who knows if that's even the same kind of, you know, if that's the same alien or if this is a different strain of the same species or, like, whatever. Like, they kind of left all that open and up in the air. So this could potentially be the, you know, the other side of that. And we don't know when this falls in the timeline. We don't really honestly know that much about when Prometheus falls in the timeline, so it's, you know, right. there's a lot up in the air right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the thing that I like about this, you know, like I think where Prometheus fails is the fact that they try to distance themselves from Alien while still being related to Alien.
Yeah.
And so like they still use some of the, like this, the face suckers, and like, you know, like the alien at the end kind of looks like, you know, the alien, and
right,
it's the space jockey, and so like they're still using the lore, and I love that. So some of the backstory, basically, to some of the ideas introduced in the Alien movies,
yeah.
But like, I feel like you're either in or you're out in regards to Alien, and because Prometheus did undergo those script rewrites later on, especially for the ending. That's where a lot of the Alien kind of tie-ins came from in that movie, and so like I don't mind that, but like.
You'd almost rather have been there from the beginning to where it wasn't, you know, where it wasn't something where it's like, hey, we could slip this in, slip this in, where it was more of a, hey, this is unabashedly, unashamedly an alien movie.
Like, yeah, this is set in the universe. this has to do with the aliens.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's a direct sequel almost, or prequel. It's a prequel, however you want to do it. Yeah, a direct prequel.
I think that's what excites me about this movie, is the fact that it's going to be an alien movie.
Yeah.
I hope that they don't, like, you know, just discount, you know, some of the movies, just say, hey, those didn't happen, or like, we're going to pretend they didn't happen, you know, kind of like X-Men kind of pretends that the third X-Men movie didn't happen, you know.
Which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, but, you know... You just introduce you needlessly introduce problems into the timeline of this franchise without cause. You know, like, there's no need to do that.
And if we're playing around with time, like, that kind of that plot device is a little bit overused at the moment, where you're playing around with the timeline and you're changing things, and it's like the whole reset thing without actually resetting it.
Well, it comes down to,
like, it pulls a Star Wars thing, or not Star Wars, Star Trek thing, like, where what J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek, where he basically said, okay, all of that existed, but now we're actually going to change it all.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they would do that. I'm saying they would just ignore the other movies and just, you know, kind of like Superman Returns ignored Superman 4 and 5.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so, like, I'd rather them, or was it 3 and 4?
It was a couple of them. It was the in-between ones.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm just not sure. I don't want it to just ignore the other ones. I would rather it be a J.J. Abrams Star Trek-style thing where they address the other movies and the fact that they exist, but we're just going to fit this in somehow, you know? So I don't know. Who knows what they could do?
Yeah.
And who knows if anyone from the original movies are even on board. I'm sure they will be, you know. Sigourney Weaver, you know, like, she has to come back. Like, that only makes sense.
Yeah.
And with his relationship with her, you would think that, you know, she would. So
for sure. Yeah, I agree.
The next thing I want to talk about this weekend, I'm going to go watch all the Best Picture nominees for Best Picture at the Oscars.
We talked a little bit about that last week.
Yes, yeah, so that was my pick of the week, so I'm not going to recap everything. But I just wanted to bring up, next week we're going to do a whole full Oscar rundown. Who won, why, like, what I thought of all the Best Picture nominees and some of the movies, some of the performances, and, like, if who won should have won, and the merits of their performances, things like that. I just wanted to recap for Best Picture, there's American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. And if you're going to add on one more to go see that you need to see in order to fully understand this Oscar race, it would be Foxcatcher.
So, something I want to put you on the spot a little bit, Chris. Ooh. This weekend, whenever you're going to see this, you're doing this over, like, an overnight kind of thing.
Yes.
After every movie, you should do a couple of tweets.
All right.
Like, two thoughts about the movie.
All right.
Where you just tell them what the movie is, and then a couple of thoughts.
What should my hashtag be?
Oh, man. Oscar Chris or Oscris.
This is weird.
I don't know.
All right. I'll figure out something. But yes, that's a good idea. I will tweet after every movie I watch and kind of give you my rundown. Maybe.
What's the thing called?
Should I give you my rating?
Yeah, you should definitely give your rating. Or, like, at the end of the whole thing, you definitely need to do, like, a before your flight back, like, while you're in the airport, do, like, some tweets about the which one's your pick for each thing, you know?
I wrote an article on standtargetpodcast.com last week. Or no, last week. Last year.
Last year's Oscar thing.
And published it the day of the Oscars and gave a quick rundown of each one, you know? So maybe I'll also do that as well.
Yeah, but you should definitely do some tweets.
Yeah, I'll definitely live tweet the thing.
Because I will be following those.
Yeah, I'll live tweet it and just kind of give you, like, a rough overview of, like, oh, man, you know, like...
Spoiler free?
Obviously
spoiler-free.
Yeah, obviously spoiler-free.
I just wanted to throw that out there just in case anybody was, like, worried that you were going to spoil the end of...
No. Let's talk about Game of Thrones for a second.
Game of Thrones.
So it was
announced... I know everything about the Game of Thrones.
No, you don't. Have you even seen any of it?
Never.
Or read any of it?
Never. Yeah. Not a single episode.
I've never read any of it. I keep up with the show, though. It's been announced that in... I don't know if in this season, but in future seasons... George R.R. Martin has given the showrunners free rein to kill off characters that have not yet died in the books. This is wild because, you know, the show started because of the popularity of the books and is basically an adaptation of the books. We are about to catch up with the books.
Yeah, I know that they're kind of running out of room. I have, like, okay, so miraculously, I have not run into any spoilers with this show.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't know who dies. I don't know anything about it. And so, I mean, I will eventually watch it. But yeah, I'm going in kind of completely blind. So
here's the thing. We're about to catch up the books because George R.R. Martin is not writing the books as quickly as he used to. So, like,
write faster!
The first book was released in 1996. The second one 2 years later, 1998. The third one 2 years later in 2000. The fourth one 5 years later in 2005. The fifth one 6 years later in 2011. And then the next one we still don't have.
Wow.
And, you know, like, we're about to catch up with them. They're supposed to be 7 total. So there's 2 more. So like in this
it could be another 14 scenario, years.
Well, right, because like it was 6 years last time.
So
five
if it
years
goes 7
that,
years next time, and then 8 years the next time, we're looking at, you know, 15 years. That's
come on,
crazy.
Come on, dude.
Well, like, okay, so hang on. But the popularity of the books obviously increased as each book comes out, and then obviously exponentially increased whenever the show came out. And so you've got, like, I would say that the pressure for creating good books has probably risen, and then the financial pressure of putting out books has gone down.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's like, you know, so he's probably, you know, feeling freer to do cool things with the storyline.
I mean, he's swimming in cash.
And simultaneously, he has no super amount of pressure, and obviously the publisher, who's also making a decent chunk of change off of it, is not like going, where's that book, George? You know,
right.
So they just want him to come out with the next one eventually,
right?
So that the way they can, you know, capitalize on it then too. So, I mean, that being said, I really, 15 years, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
to wait for 2 books.
And I think the interesting part of this to me is the fact that this television series was started as an adaptation of the books.
True.
And in the end, this could end up being a situation where the books are adaptations of the television show, because George has told the creators and told them, okay, this is my end game. Here's where I'm going with these books. And they are heading toward that point as well, along with George.
And so do you think at some point they're going to branch off and, like, be vastly different than the books, but they all both end maybe the same way?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You know, like, you know, is because if the show, like, they decide to kill off certain characters or a certain giant plot development happens, you know, is George just going to ignore that fact in his books, or will he use it? You would think that he would use it, because if, you know, say you've got fans of the show who then read the books and are now reading the books, you know, like, do you just totally throw them off and this is an entirely different, because up till now it's generally followed, you know, the same kind
right.
of kind of, you know, it's like they have to kind of follow each other. Yeah, otherwise, well, you're really throwing people,
like,
off the wagon.
Maybe he has like a roadmap where he's like, okay, we're gonna have this battle, and this person, and this person, and this person die, or like, yeah. And then this person poisons this person, and, you know, those types of things, those smaller things.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. They've jumped forward, like in time, a few things, and I've heard that they've killed off characters sooner in the show than they did on the book. So it's like not quite parallel. So I almost think that now at this point, we might end up having 2 methods to get to the same, like,
yeah, and it's always that way. I just find it interesting that now it's the books that are going to be following the television show.
That's so weird.
You know, like, you know, it would be like The Walking Dead catching up with the comics, and all of a sudden now the comics repeat what you see in the show.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be wild.
And it's, and honestly,
that might happen too eventually.
But with that, I almost think that they might take it a different way, where they might just say, okay, we're just doing our completely different thing. You know, whereas like Game of Thrones, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, follows a little bit closer to the books and it has more interaction with George R.R. Martin than, you know, they have in the comics with the show, you know?
Agreed. Like, you know, they've stuck closer to the books, and that's what makes this so weird, is the fact that they have stuck closer to the books than, like, Walking Dead is stuck close to the comics. You know, you have huge departures in the show, you know, from the comics, and whereas you don't have just these huge glaring departures on the show, Game of Thrones, from the books up until this point. The interesting thing is also, like, how they worded it. They didn't word it and say characters are going to die in the show that won't die in the books. They said that haven't yet died in the books. And that's what makes me be like, okay, this is a flip-flop now. You know, like maybe George has plans on them dying.
He probably has a big list of characters or a big, like a bunch of like names written on his wall. And then every once in a while, he'll just mark one out, you know, and like they've seen that wall potentially, you know?
Someone in an interview, he did say though, that he's like, man, the producers of the show, they're bloodier than I am. So like, that makes me think like, they're going to kill off characters just to kill them off.
Yeah.
And then George is like, well, I guess they're dead now, you know, and write them out of the books.
Dang it, guys, I liked that character.
Because this is the thing, you know, you think about Game of Thrones, and, you know, whereas something like The Walking Dead, you know, in the comics especially, people just die all the time. It's largely kind of inconsequential.
Yeah.
Whereas on the show, they make a big deal about the fact that they're dying. I am echoing. They make a big deal about it. So it's like, okay, this whole episode is dedicated to this person dying. You don't necessarily get that in the comics. Whereas both the books and the shows, like, there are huge plot points and developments and left turns that occur on Game of Thrones because of the deaths. And so it makes me think whenever they kill them off in the show, it's going to be involve this huge shift. It's like the show, like the plot will change drastically based on the people who
have to,
because that's what's happened up to this point,
right? I mean, they've set the precedent for that, and so like it will have to, you know.
And unless George is just going to depart entirely from this story and just be like, well, they're two completely separate things now.
Honestly, though, if he already knows a lot of what's going to be coming up, he may have just told them and said, hey, you guys can just do this. And I mean, I'm going to write it eventually and the book is going to come out eventually, but here's what's going to happen in the book. And you know, this is what I do know is going to happen. And it just takes him
you know,
writing it. Cause I mean, whenever he's mapped out this story, I mean, he's had years and years and years to do this. I would imagine he kind of knows the, like, okay, how do we get from here to there?
You would hope,
you know, at this point that he knows the characters and knows the situation
put it down on paper, man.
Well, just sit at this typewriter until it happens. And so like, I would imagine he would have those because of how closely he's worked with the show in the past, that he might have had those big conversations where he says, hey, this is what's roughly going to happen. These are the big plot points that are going to shift. These are the big deaths that are going to happen in the book. And it's just a matter of him doing it. And so he's letting them, basically saying, I'm okay if you guys spoil my book.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know that it will be like he's, you know, being influenced by what they're doing. But I don't think that you can really, at this point, separate the two anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to forge on into this new territory, I don't think you can, I mean, you're right. It's not really a television show adaptation of the book anymore. It's more like they just are. They just exist together and are one thing. I mean, he's still the author and the creator of both and still kind of controls where that goes, but I don't know.
Right.
You can't really say it's one or the other.
Right. Moving on to some game news. Destiny has released a new patch. This is your weekly Destiny news. Real fast, we'll just snip it.
Just a snapshot.
They've announced that they're making, including mandatory matchmaking for the weekly heroic strikes, which up until this point, there was no matchmaking, and you had to find a group of friends or not run it.
Yeah.
It's a crazy change.
It's interesting. It's a weird flow to do this because all of the other strikes, even if you hopped into like a story mission strike, it would always matchmake you with two other people if you're just a single person. And then if one of those people left, or maybe potentially nobody else happens to be on, it would maybe put you in by yourself. But the difficulty then, like in both the Nightfalls and all of the strikes, actually decreases depending on like the lower the number of people, the lower the difficulty. So if I'm one guy, I would sometimes go into the Nightfall and rock my way through it really easily because the difficulty is a little bit lower. Whereas if I went in with two people, the other person being maybe a lower level than me and that sort of thing, it would be vastly harder because there are, you know, two or three people in there. So now this is going to like level that playing field and not let somebody, because like a lot of times, like what would happen is either me or some of the people we play with, one person would dive into the weekly Nightfall and get all the way to the end and then invite two people in, and then those people would get the final rewards without actually having completed the entire thing. What this is going to keep from happening is that. Like, it's going to keep people from inviting other friends in at the last second so they get the rewards but not have to spend the time. So, I mean, I don't know that this is a negative thing. I don't know that it's a positive thing. It's just a thing. It's just something now that we're going to have to deal with. I don't think, like, okay, so if you do, there is a bounty for completing a strike without dying. And a lot of times we would do that one concurrently with the nightfalls and things, because what you could do is if you died, you leave and come back into the same one, and then it resets to that progress. And so you can still complete it without dying, technically, in the eyes of the bounty anyway. And so that... I mean, I don't know. That'll be a little bit harder because there's matchmaking. So while you're, you know, while you're out, somebody else might join in. It might connect you to, like, merge parties with somebody. But honestly, that never really stopped us before. So,
my big question with this is why? You know, they said that they make this change because, well, this doesn't really require as much communication and cooperation as, like, something like a raid. You know, they originally said that. You need to play this with your friends because you need to be able to communicate with them. You need to be able to work together. And I really like, and they say, oh, well, we're taking a step back. We're taking a look at this. You really don't need as much communication. Honestly, I feel like that's wrong. I wonder if it's because their player base, weekly player base, is diminishing and they have a lot more people, less people completing it, probably because their friends aren't online playing it.
That's very true. I mean, last week I didn't do it because most of my friends had already done it by the time I went in. And so, like, I didn't really want to, you know, I just didn't complete it, you know? And so I think that very well might be that maybe not as many people are completing it. I also think that there might be just a hardcore player base that are just one people. Like, a lot of times, like, your clan or the people that you play with quite often, they might be playing, moved on to these other games now. And so maybe one person out of a group of, you know, six or nine is still playing Destiny weekly, and they need somebody to team up with and to match up with. But something that people have been asking for, you know, since the beginning of this game is matchmaking for raids. And I think this is a step towards that.
Yeah.
But I agree that if you get in there with people who aren't communicating and don't know how difficult this is and don't know what they're doing, that it will be very, very difficult. And if they go up and, you know, die and aren't pulling their weight, mm-hmm. it's like that would get very, very annoying and frustrating.
Well, like, okay, you know, this is one thing. You know, say, for instance, this is where I hope it doesn't go. You know, like, a lot of times you... The way that the game works is the enemies scale on how many people you have inside the raid. Okay, so
right.
Like last night, I ran
you mean it, the strike,
yeah. or any event, or
yeah,
anything. Like, so on the strike, I ran it. It was me and one of our friends. So the enemies were at a certain level. If someone else gets matched with you in matchmaking that you can't control, that can't pull his own weight, then you are stuck with a harder weekly strike because of the fact that this guy is with you. He's basically dead weight. He can't do anything.
Yeah.
And there's more enemies just because it has to now. Like, there's always going to be three people in a strike now. You're never going to be able to play a weekly strike with just two people.
Well, and that's the concern, you know, and that's the concern that I think I have. I don't know. It's hard because I also think that matchmaking and things like that in the strikes are kind of a good thing. But a lot of times, like, because these strikes have been around for months and months and months, we've been running the same. How many strikes are there? Like eight?
No, there's. Well, I mean, it depends on which platform you're on. For Xbox, there is one for each planet, so four, and then one new one, so five.
Okay. I think there might be two on Venus.
Are there two on Venus?
Yes, there are two on Venus.
Okay, two on Venus.
Okay, so anyway, but like, so there's a handful of strikes, and so you've played them a bunch. Like, you've played them over and over again. So I think at this point, hopefully the hardcore player base knows them, but new people who are coming in, they don't know them that well. And so maybe that was their mentality where it's like, hey, these have been out for long enough. The player base basically knows how they work. Let's just go ahead and do matchmaking. I mean, but I think that your point about not having enough players or not having enough high enough of a completion rate for the weekly and Nightfall. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably got to play in the back of their heads. Like, if they're not having, like, if the completion percentage of people playing the game right. versus the people who are completing those events is low enough, they're going to have to change something to make it work.
That's my other comment as well. Like, this apparently doesn't apply to the Nightfall. It doesn't say anything about the Nightfall. It just says about the different levels of the weekly raid. Some, like, oftentimes, the Nightfall is easier than the weekly raid.
You mean the weekly strike?
Sorry, weekly strike.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Nightfall is easier.
A lot of times, yeah.
So then,
yeah.
You know, like, if they're saying, well, we're doing this because it's easier, you know, like, no. Like, you're doing it for some other reason, I feel like. And yeah. I don't think it's in our best interest necessarily.
Well,
I think giving us, I would be okay if they gave us the option. Do you want to enter matchmaking for this strike?
Yeah.
Or do you want to just run it on your own?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's something that they internally, they keep a pretty close tabs on, like, how many people are completing this, and they work those numbers a lot, and they change things based on, you know, those numbers, and, like, even, like, patching things. It's like, okay, so how on this potential exploit or cheese or whatever, is it worth patching? How many people are completing it that mm-hmm. way? And they look at those numbers a lot of times, and they say, okay, too many people were doing this, let's patch that out.
Yeah.
And so I think this may be something like that, where, I mean, obviously it's got to be because they're looking at some number and going, yeah, we really need this to happen. So for some reason, I don't know if it's in the, again, I don't know that it's a positive thing or a negative thing. I just think it'll change the way we play the game for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, go in with three people for sure.
The one thing it does do, I guess, for positive, last thing to say is if I, for some reason, like, don't get the weekly done, and all my friends have done it, and they're like, we don't want to do it, you just hop into matchmaking, find some guys, do it, and hopefully be able to make it through without too much trouble.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's the most ideal situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe even then it will branch out your friends list, and you can actually have another group of people to go through it with. You never know. I mean, it very well might be a positive thing and increase the social activity within the game.
Yeah. So for our topic this week, John.
The main topic.
Main topic. Let's talk about the Order 1886 for a second.
Whoa.
Yes. It's coming out today, on Friday, when this podcast is airing.
Yep.
Some developments have occurred over the past couple weeks. So last week, there was a YouTuber online who released the entire walkthrough, accidentally released the entire walkthrough to the game on YouTube.
Oops.
Yep. He quickly took it down, but not before everyone, lots of people took a look at it and found out that the game is about 5 hours long. That made a lot of people frustrated. It's like, okay, we're paying for a $60 game that is 5 hours long. Now, I am not of the mindset that length equals quality. A lot of times, I think people can get confused on that point.
Well, like, okay, so I'll see it both ways. So I'll play a little bit of devil's advocate here, but I'm in agreement that it's like, okay, so length of game doesn't equal quality. Where it's like, okay, so if this game is a terrible game for 10 hours, it's a terrible game for 10 hours. But if it's a terrible game for 1 hour, hey, it's only a terrible game for 1 hour, right. You know? But I do see the point of, like, okay, so if you divide up the amount of time that you spend on a game and divide the dollars up, it's like a 5 hour game and you're paying $60 for it, that's about $12 an hour, you know? And so it's like, if you wouldn't pay $12 an hour to play a game, I mean, I don't know, you know, it's like, maybe you got to make that call. But honestly, like, I don't have a ton of time on my hands these days. And so shorter games, I've actually enjoyed shorter games maybe more than I've enjoyed some really, really long campaigns or whatever. And say what you will about kind of Destiny's thing, but there's not a lot of story content there, and it doesn't take very long to get through. But it's, you know, it's a really good game, and that story content was worth the $60, you know, or whatever. But that argument has been made as well, where it's, you know, what you pay for, how much story content did you get for the amount of money? So I see it both ways.
I mean, I kind of see it that way, but I don't think that's a valid argument, because, like, then it comes down to, okay, why are you playing this game? Are you playing this just to occupy your time?
Right.
You know, like, or are you playing this because you want a good gameplay experience? It's like saying, you know, well, I just want a distraction. I just want to stare at a TV here for, you know,
that's true,
the longest amount of time that I can for $60.
That's true.
You know, that's an entirely separate conversation. And it's like, okay, why are you playing this game?
Yeah, I mean, and you remember whenever we were kids and things, like younger, we would have more time on our hands to actually just do game, you know, just play a game. And a lot of times we would do that where it's like you would just play the heck out of one game over and over, you know, and just keep going on it. And so like maybe if you have way more time on your hands, that's a valid argument, maybe. But I agree, like you don't go to a movie that's like 6 hours long, like The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Like look at The Hobbit. The Hobbit was 3 hours long each movie.
Right.
And you didn't feel like, oh, I got more movie for my buck.
I got my money's worth.
I got way more over my money's worth on this than I did on, you know, some, you know, 90-minute movie or 2-hour movie or right. whatever.
That, so, that's the thing. It's like, okay, whenever you like, you should be concerned about the gameplay. Is the gameplay satisfying? Is it
yeah.
good mechanically? Is it a good story? Like mm-hmm. length should not factor into it, except
ooh,
for ooh. Instance, Alien Isolation, which we reviewed.
Yep.
I'll put that, I'll link to that in the podcast.
Yeah.
That was a great game if it had been only, you know, between 5 and 10 hours, max 10.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a 30-hour game and it gets super, super boring
yeah.
and repetitive and frustrating. And so, like, I feel like the only time that, honestly, in my reviews or really anyone's reviews are like, the only time and the length of gameplay like factors in is like,
yeah.
is it too long like of an experience for what you're doing? You know,
yeah.
if you're going to have a 30-hour campaign, it has to be something that's like, this has to be incredibly varied, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to have a lot more going on than just one thing. And again, it's whenever you pay for a game, like there's, it's the experience that's there. It's like, I would much rather pay for a $60 game that is a little bit shorter and a really good experience than pay for a you know, a game that drags on forever, you know?
Right.
And it feels like a grind. It's just like with like books, you don't pay for the page count. It's, you don't pay for, you know, more for a 700 page novel than you do for it. I mean, you might, but it's, I don't know. It doesn't go into the factoring how much you pay. You know, it's like I buy comics or whatever. And it's like, yeah. I would much rather have a great story, for, you know, a couple issues or whatever than have a really boring story for 12.
Right.
You know, cause I remember the JMS run on Superman where he's walking around, called Grounded,
right.
where he's walking around, Superman is walking around the Earth. Really boring story. And yeah. it went on for 12 issues.
Yep.
I have had so much more fun. I would have paid so much more for a, you know, 6-issue run of something completely different. Like I have done that before.
Right.
Like they've run mini series before where they cost more per issue, but it's a better story in
right.
that issue. So it's, you know, I yeah. don't know.
And to be fair, like our Alien Isolation review, we talked about like the, it's around 20 hours to finish. And honestly, they needed to cap it at like 5.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, in that instance, shorter was better. Okay.
Yeah.
And now that reviews are coming, starting to come out, we haven't reviewed it. I'm going to play it. I want to review it at some point.
Yeah.
But the Order 1886 is not getting great reviews. So it's like, do you really want a 10 to 15 hour campaign of a mediocre game?
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, so, but like you said, I will pick it up and play it for 5 hours. If
oh,
I
yeah.
know like, okay, this is subpar. It has some problems, but it looks really pretty. You know, like that's
yeah.
basically what, you know, the current reviews coming out have said. And like I will play a game, a short game like that, you know, specifically for the graphics. Like I want to enjoy the vibe and feel and look of this. I don't, you know, I know the story's going to have some problems. I know the gameplay's going to have some problems. I might get frustrated, but I want to just look at this, you know?
Yeah, and it's, you look at, again, I'm comparing it to a lot of other mediums, but it's like a movie. You can watch a bad movie because it's 2 hours long. It's like, you know how long it is and you know how long it's going to be there. So
yeah.
if you're gonna experience something that's bad, it's good to have like a smaller time limit or something that
right.
is, you know, mediocre or even like Alien Isolation. It's a really good game,
yeah.
but it just drags on. And so it takes a good game and makes it like a game.
Right.
And that's unnecessary,
right.
you know?
So. Well, then you get into also like, you know, you said, you know, like you can watch a bad movie for 2 hours. It depends on like, okay, is this a movie that fails on all levels? Then I don't know that I want to watch that at all.
That's true.
But is this a movie with bad plot, bad acting, but great action? I'll watch that for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it comes down to, you know, what aspect of this do you find appealing and are you willing to spend the time in order to enjoy
yeah.
it?
On the other side of things, I do see from like a value proposition standpoint on video games. Like if somebody's looking at the Order 1886 versus something like Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah.
Which
they're gonna spend $60 on one of them.
They've got it, you know, it's like there's $60. In fact, I think Dragon Age Inquisition might be less expensive now. It might be on sale. Like you might be able to pick up a copy for $50 or $40.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're looking at this, okay, so a 100+ hour game with a great story and really cool gameplay. Or a game that's really beautiful and, you know, maybe isn't quite as fun as 5 hours.
Yeah.
It's like you look at that and you say, you kind of weigh it and just, you gotta make a choice as a gamer. And it's like, I think that a lot of people would choose Dragon Age Inquisition.
Right.
And so like, there's going to be people that are voting with their wallets here, but I don't know.
And that's fair. And, you know, I think, you know, you should, I mean, I'm not saying buy this for the sake of buying it. You know, like you should buy the things that you want to support and want to spend your money on.
Right.
Like I'm not
harping on it because it's a 5 hour game.
Yeah. I'm not going to go purchase it. I'm going to go rent it. I think, you know, like,
right on.
And so like, you know, there's that option as well, but I'm not saying go spend $60 on it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't think that, you know, like we jumped the gun last week saying, man, this should be a longer game. And now the reviews are coming out. You're like, no, it shouldn't. Like, this is actually probably a game that more people will play because it's only 5 hours.
Yeah.
Than if it had been, you know, 15 or 20 of a crappy experience.
Yeah, and it's a good call on the developer and the publisher side, you know, to actually, you know, make it a shorter game, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're looking at their game and going, hey, it's only a 5 hour game. And we're looking at it and going, but it's only a 5 hour game when we haven't even played it, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, this has been a kind of a mishmash of topics here today, but I've enjoyed it.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Next week, we will talk about the Oscars and who won.
Even if we get snowed in.
Yes, who won, who didn't. I'll talk about all the Best Picture nominees that I watched over the weekend.
Yeah.
We'll give a full rundown there. So keep it locked to stayontargetpodcast.com for that.
What's interesting is maybe we should start looking at the weather
before
we plan the next week's podcast.
Never thought I'd have to do that.
Yeah, me neither.
You think we'll ever jump in and go over a few of the Kingsmen? Should we even? Is it even worth it?
I don't know. At this point, like, I mean, maybe we should wait until, I really want to see it though.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
Well,
like,
we can still just go see it to enjoy
we
it.
We should just go see it to enjoy it. Maybe we should do
we
that
don't have
and
to
then
review
just talk
every
about
movie
it.
We watch, John.
Right, that's true. But then if we do review it, we know we're going to watch it.
That's so true. Like, yeah, I mean, well, and we know we're going to watch it on like release day. Usually,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should review it whenever it comes out on DVD or something.
That'd be cool. I don't know if we've done that before.
I don't know if we've done that. Yeah, well, that would be really fun to do the Blu-ray release or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. We could talk about the special features, or I don't know if we, like I don't know if we do that.
I don't know if we even do that.
Because
I think
they come out on Tuesdays.
Yeah, well, I think that what you can do is talk about the movie and maybe whether or not people should pick it up on Blu-ray or rent it on Blu-ray or something.
Maybe.
The rental watch or something.
Maybe we whet people's appetites. We tease them right now. We go watch it in theaters.
Mm.
We record a review of it.
Oh.
We do not post it until the DVD release.
Oh, dude, that'd be really funny. Because like then we could like be referential like and be like looking, try to predict the future. Like we'll have like four different predictions of that episode.
I don't
episode.
Think we have to record the whole podcast.
Just
the
that
part.
Section?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, because like future news, I'm not entirely sure if we can pull that
future
off.
Future news. Sounds like some kind of like weird publication that you'd find at the checkout counter at the grocery store.
Yep. And it has like UFOs on the
future
front cover.
News, yes.
Yes.
I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I have a, like, it's like world news. It's like this like black and white newspaper, and it has on the front George Bush in some kind of war room pointing up at some screen with UFOs on it. It says UFOs attack America or something.
It's totally legit.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it. Like, I don't even think those magazines or newspapers or whatever they were are still around. I wish they were.
I think the ones that have stuck around were like the celebrity ones or whatever.
I don't
not
care about
the
that.
Not the like
I wanna
crazy
see,
ones.
You know, like where it's like strange monkey boy born in France, you know.
Just completely made up stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like no ounce of truth in this at all.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton has a cybernetic arm.
That's true, Chris.
Exactly.
I believe
that.
Oh,
really? Yeah, he did. Yeah, that happened. You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
What just happened?
.com. You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
JohnWright777.
And at StayOnTargetPod. I will be tweeting about all the Best Picture nominees as I watch them this weekend.
And I'll be heckling you in the process.
I look forward to that. That's it for this week. Oh, also check out our other podcasts.
Oh yeah, Arrow on Target and Flash on Target. There's some really good episodes this week, so check out those episodes as well.
That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.